Hey, today we look at the religious exemption from the vaccine. This is impacting millions, but the underlying freedom issue impacts all of us. We're going to look at an airline pilot's saga. It's kind of a sad story. Hey, welcome back to the Barry Ferris Show, Culture Shift. Today, we start with the story of a friend who's an airline pilot, a major airline, and he sought a religious exemption from the COVID vaccine. Unfortunately, it doesn't end happy. Well, actually, first, let's start with a look at some quick COVID stats. In the over 65 age group, the most vulnerable, 93.7% have at least one vaccine. 83% of them have two. So that's a lot of people that are vaccinated in the vulnerable group. And of everyone in the U.S. over 18, 76.5% have had at least one shot. And over 75% of over 12-year-olds have had at least one shot. So altogether, the United States has administered 387 million doses. And that includes second shots, of course. So most people so far have only had minor reactions. But the vaccine does have this thing called a vaccine adverse event reporting system. And when you go in there, it shows that there's 569,294 total vaccines related to the COVID vaccine so far. Of those, 176,000 include a hospital visit or an emergency room visit or are somewhat or fairly severe, including 5,609 deaths due to the vaccine. A Harvard study suggests that that reporting system only shows 1%. In other words, that you could multiply by 100 for what we just reported there. But needless to say, now let's just that's enough of the statistics on COVID for the moment. The point of that is that COVID has largely been vaccinated against, and there's an awful lot of emphasis to try to get those remaining people that aren't vaccinated or not willing to be vaccinated. So now here's the story of my friend. He's a warm guy. He's humble. He's very affable. He's an airline pilot. I've known him for years. And he shared with me the company's process start to finish. First, this major airline gave him a deadline to get the vaccine. So he requested a religious exemption. And in his letter, which is really well written, in my opinion, he stated that he was unable to knowingly support abortion in any way. The COVID vaccines were either developed by, or in the case of Johnson & Johnson, they contain aborted fetal cell material. So he used all these Bible verses to share how he believes abortion is wrong. And he said, look, I'm not going to violate the foundational tenet of my belief. And he explained with a whole bunch more Bible verses, supporting his belief that he should not knowingly ingest foods or products that contain genetically modified components. His argument here, he has a string of verses, Bible verses that he uses for this argument, but he also gave a practical reason in addition to ingesting bad stuff. And that is that he's recovered from COVID-19 and he has a natural immunity. Then he finished with a religious belief that God has given him a better immunity. Even though that's also scientifically supported, he believes it religiously, that what God designed and put together is better than what man could put together. So that's the result of his discussion there. And then he finished his plea with this: I humbly and respectfully request that you honor my deeply held belief based on what I understand to be classical Christian theology and grant me a religious exemption from the airline's COVID vaccine mandate. So then he got a postcard, no envelope. And on the back of the postcard, they say, hey, as of August 29th, our records show that you have not uploaded your vaccine information and unvaccinated employees will be separated from the airline. On the front of the postcard, it's got his name and everything. And it says, not vaccinated yet? The last date you can get vaccinated and still comply with the airline's vaccine requirement is, and they list the date for Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson. That seems harassing. It's not even, it doesn't even have the courtesy of being in a enclosed envelope. So then they give him a follow-up of the following questions. In order to process your religious accommodation request, please provide additional information regarding the following within 3 days. I find this to be just amazing. Have you received vaccinations in the past? If you answered yes, when did you receive these vaccinations? What vaccines did you take? Do you currently take or have you ever taken medications of any kind, over the counter or prescription? If you answered yes, when's the last time you took such medicine? How is the COVID vaccine different from those medicines, if at all? And what about your religious belief prevents you from getting the COVID vaccine, but not taking other types of medicine? Additionally, please provide additional information regarding the following within 3 days. Are you aware of any vaccines or medications you have previously received, were created, researched, tested, or otherwise involved the use of stem cells? If your answer is yes, please explain why receiving that vaccine or medication was not a violation of your sincerely held religious belief. If your answer is you don't know, please explain why receiving these vaccines without knowing the condition was not also a violation of your sincerely held religious belief. So my friend sees through all that and he responds, I may or may not have helped him with this, but I thought his answers were pretty good. Here they are. I've clearly stated my position concerning my deeply held religious, sincere religious beliefs and pertaining to the COVID shots in my previously submitted request for reasonable accommodation. Respectfully, as it pertains to the overall tenor of your questions, though my answers would line up with logical and consistent behavior from the past, I do not believe it's appropriate for me to go down that road because, as I understand the law, it's not lawful for United to deny religious exemptions based on whether United thinks the employee's religious beliefs are logical or consistent. Religious beliefs do not need to be acceptable, logical, consistent, or comprehensible to others in order to have protection. Thomas versus Review Board of Indiana, 1981. And as it relates to your questions on my medical history, I am grateful to be healthy. However, even though my answers to your questions support my beliefs and would pass the logic and consistency test you are presumably positioning yourself to assess, I believe my medical history and my personal use or non-use of any prescribed or over-the-counter medication or supplement is a private matter between me and my physician. As it relates to your question regarding stem cells, though that isn't synonymous with aborted fetal cells, and though my behavior and pro-life beliefs have been consistent, I don't think it's your role to ask if I've always had that belief. That's because the courts have ruled that it's not up to the employer to make the determination and that knowledge can be gained and beliefs can change over time. The courts have further ruled that an employer may have a bias against the religion and/or a lack of understanding of the religion. In any event, it's not up to the employer to decide if the religious practice is acceptable. I'm grateful that freedom of religion is explicit in our country's governing document. That's the first item in the First Amendment, and that should be respected by all who wish to do business in the United States. My classical Christian theology is not an obscure religion, but even if it was, it's not up to the employer to decide if it's acceptable. And even though my beliefs far predate my employment with the airline, I do not believe it's appropriate for the airline to ask about my past beliefs. He, of course, mentions the airline, but I'm protecting the identification of which major U.S. airline this is. I love flying for the airline, and as evidenced by my last check ride, I'm a competent pilot. I bring positive, uplifting attitude to the cockpit. I'm methodically safe and safety conscious, and I'm the type of pilot that helps establish a solid reputation for any airline. And I'll continue to comply with all the employer mandates, except for those that violate my longstanding religious belief. That would seem pretty compelling. I mean, come on, this is the United States of America. You should respect and honor that. So then they follow up with this. At this stage, the next step of the process is a personal attestation from someone who is aware of your deeply held religious beliefs and can attest. Once we have this information, we'll proceed with a final review of your accommodation request. Hope that helps. Thank you. Absence Management Department. So then my friend responds with this. I'm a little surprised that you're asking me to verify my sincerely held religious belief. I mean, that request seems to violate my First Amendment right to freely exercise my religion. The fact that you would ask me to verify it by some third party who's not directly connected to my employment doesn't make it free anymore. Though I don't think I understand what role an employer has in requiring someone outside of my employment to attest to my religious beliefs, I can get such an attestation, But before I do, I want to make sure it's for a purpose. You're asking me to have someone who's not an employee of the airline take the time to attest to a personal belief of mine. I just need a little clarification. How long does the attestation need to be in length? What elements need to be included in the attestation? Who needs to be the attester in order to qualify? And if I provide you with an attestation that meets your requirements, will I be granted the exemption? So then they responded with, there isn't a set length or specific language. The next step of the process is a personal attestation from someone who's aware of your deeply held religious beliefs and can attest. Once we have this information, we'll proceed with a final review of your accommodation request. This information will be taken into account for the final approval or denial. Keep in mind that any accommodation approach is not indefinite and can be revisited. So then he had his wife write a one-sentence attestation. So then they granted him the exemption. And so we thought we'd won something. But he would be on unpaid leave starting in October. So they mandate all employees be vaccinated or face termination. He was granted the religious exemption based on all that malarkey above. But he's going to be granted the religious exemption without pay, without health benefits, or without travel privileges starting in October. I mean, this is happening all across the country. This isn't an accommodation. It doesn't honor the freedom issue. I mean, whatever happened to my body, my choice? Okay, let's go back to the elephant in the living room from one issue that's really out there. And that is that the federal government refuses to acknowledge natural immunity. You know that natural immunity is now proven across the world by over a dozen extremely respected studies. And we were talking about the Cleveland Clinic to Cell Medicine Journal. And natural immunity is equal to or better than the vaccine, especially as it relates to variants. No telling what happens if you pile on top of your natural immunity the vaccine. I just don't know. And I don't think anyone does yet. The CDC reports that 42.5 million people in the United States have natural immunity right now. Factoring in those who got COVID and did not get tested and those who also got a vaccine on top of their natural immunity, the incremental natural immunity represents 12.8% of the adult population. So when you add that to the 76.5% that have already been vaccinated, you're looking at 88% of the adult population that's now immunized in some form or another. Those who've had COVID and recovered are probably in the best shape against variants, according to the studies. Those with a vaccine will reduce the impact of COVID or a COVID variant. So they won't go to the hospital as much, and they certainly won't die as much if they get infected. So with those numbers, if you haven't had the vaccine yet and you haven't had COVID yet, why don't those remaining holdouts just get immunized with Moderna or Pfizer or Janssen and call it a day? Well, there's probably three reasons. First is mistrust. And this is very deep in the Black community, which actually is the largest percentage on a population percentage basis of those who do not have the vaccine. The second is medical belief. And then the third is religious belief. In the first camp, the United States CDC and the federal government has really been coercive and non-disclosing. I mean, let's face it, they've not been transparent about therapeutics. They haven't been transparent about the adverse impact of a vaccine, nor have they done a good job or just good old-fashioned job of building trust with kindness. For example, there are dozens of potential side effects. And in any drug, the FDA requires that those side effects are revealed. And it's a large part of the commercial when you watch it on TV. The second camp have a legit disagreement medically. So physicians like Dr. McCullough and a bunch of others around the world make a pretty compelling case for different reasons that the vaccine has some potential flaws. And we're going to find out in the future that it's not so great. So people in those two camps would just rather take their chances. They believe COVID's a lower risk to them than taking the vaccine. And since therapeutics are now proven, they feel less concerned. Thousands have been kept out of the hospital using the monoclonal antibody treatment that's produced now and developed by Eli Lilly and Regeneron from the United States. And it's also produced by GlaxoSmithKline from the United Kingdom. It's an FDA-approved antibody, and it should be supported. Why wouldn't they? The federal government, though, recently rationed the U.S. version of the monoclonal antibody treatment. The governor of Florida had to cut a deal with the United Kingdom company, GlaxoSmithKline, to circumvent the feds and get the helpful treatment directly. Why wouldn't the Biden administration help with this therapeutic? And why wouldn't it support anything that would help keep people from dying, suffering, or going to the hospital? What's going on? No, in this instance, the Biden administration seized control of the monoclonals that are based in the United States, locking up supply of doses from Eli Lilly and Regeneron. And it's not cheap. It's about $2,100 a dose. But it sure seems to work. Regulators and state officials say the drug and similar other drugs help keep people out of hospitals. A growing number of public figures and elected officials are testifying how they had the monoclonal treatment and it helped them recover fast from COVID. DeSantis, the governor of Florida, estimated thousands of Floridians have been able to avoid going to the hospital after getting the COVID-19 or being exposed to a positive case because of the treatment of this monoclonal. Now, come on, feds. Sponsor the doggone treatment. Now, the third group, so that's two groups. The third group are those with a genuine religious opposition to this vaccine, kind of like my friend. I mean, some people have a genuine, deep opposition to all vaccines, but I'm not going to focus on those guys. I'm just going to focus on the much larger group of people who are just opposed to this vaccine. They're not opposed to all of them in general, but to this one in particular. So why is that? Well, each of the vaccines used fetal cells in the development of the vaccine. And for those who are genuinely pro-life, this is a violation of a sincerely held religious belief. Yet the Fed and many companies are totally insensitive to this long-held cherished part of the United States Constitution. And now, a whole bunch of companies and the POTUS and all the federal government officials and employees are being mandated to have taken a vaccine to keep employed. I mean, this is an intimidation that's everywhere. In addition to our story of the airline pilot, there are Coast Guards who want a religious exemption. Coast Guards, I mean, like they're kind of out in the ocean, seawater. A recent Department of Defense memo directs U.S. Coast Guard chaplains to ask the highly invasive questions about their sincerity of their faith. This is a memo that's written by a Coast Guard official. Her name's Amanda Lee. And this verified Department of Defense memo gives instructions to the supervisor to challenge the employee who wants a religious exemption. I imagine this type of memo is in all of the armed services, but here's one we've got a hold of out of the Coast Guard. Here's a quote. Have the member describe how they consistently keep the tenets of their faith and demonstrate those in their daily life. Ask them to be as specific as possible. What are you talking about? You're my pastor now to try to tell me whether or not I'm being consistent enough? It's your job, federal government, to decide whether or not I'm having a daily quiet time, whether or not I'm following through with the prayers properly and reading my Bible like I should. Next quote, put the specific acts or lack thereof in the memo. So you got to be kidding me. The chaplains are required to create a log of the fate of a Department of Defense employee. American citizens have no obligation to defend themselves as religious people like this. This is crazy. The government has no authority to ask this type of intrusive question. They're demonstrating that they're hostile to religious belief. So Amanda's memo warns the chaplains to be wary of the guardsmen who may be abusing the exemption. I mean, they might be using their religious belief just to be exempt from the vaccine. Well, here's another quote. It's important to provide context in the memo, discussing the members' belief. If they come to the meeting and begin by discussing concerns about safety, politics, etc., note that in the memo. So she goes on to elevate the secular humanist with the power to discern religious sincerity. Even if the member eventually states that it's a belief based on religion and how they move from non-religious beliefs to religious ones, note, any comments made by the member that make it appear they are using the religious exemption as a ruse to avoid the vaccine, unquote. So this Department of Defense memo also includes a series of questions to be asked by the guardsmen who express concerns about the use of cells from the tissue of aborted babies in the development of the three vaccines currently approved by the FDA on an experimental basis to combat COVID-19. So those who refuse the vaccine and aren't given a religious or medical exemption are subject to discipline, not including discharge. So they got these Coast Guard employees and their religious beliefs are being harassed. They're being told that they can submit a religious exemption request, but when they do, The Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marine Corps is not going to approve it. And then you'll be processed for separation or court-martialed dishonorably. Aviators are being removed from flight status and being threatened with removal from command. Back to my friend. He's a great guy, and he doesn't judge anyone who's been vaccinated. He just wants the freedom to choose for himself. I mean, he served for over 2 decades in the United States Air Force, and he was helping defend our right. He was involved in the Afghan war critically, and it was his desire to defend Americans' rights to make decisions for themselves. Here's a quote from my friend. Nobody should be coerced or face termination by an employer for not wanting a medical procedure they don't feel is in their best interest or violates their personal beliefs. So his plea is pretty straightforward. How far are you willing to let the government go at determining what are your personal choices? What are your beliefs concerning your health? My friend and his family are understandably stressed out. It's a really high paying job, and it's going to be snatched away from him 1st of October. He's not going to cave because he truly, sincerely has these beliefs. This is the opposite of what the founders of the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights wanted our society to look like. And there's a reason, a deeper reason. It's not just this opaque freedom thing, but to build a democratic republic, it would require 3 things. It would require a virtuous people. Otherwise, you're going to just go down to the lowest common denominator. And if you expect people to govern themselves, they need to have some moral bearing. 2, it would require people of faith. The source of virtue comes from a belief in God, an ultimate ruler over right and wrong. And 3, it would require a free people. Faith is not possible without freedom. It can't be coerced, or it's not really faith. And that's why the first part of the First Amendment is the freedom to believe. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, government shall make no law that buttresses any particular religion, and it shall not make any law that prohibits the ability to freely exercise whatever your belief might be. Humanists, and progressives, and Marxists, and socialists, and communists, they don't like to be under a higher authority. They try very hard to make the case for no creator, no God. What that does is it results in no inalienable right to life, liberty, and property. But when that happens, you lose your plumb line, and good and evil become opaque. Humanists, progressives, and socialists argue there's no divine purpose for mankind, no life after death, no judgment day. And when their ideas win the day, schools are more dangerous, neighborhoods are more perilous, mob violence is not checked, and people are just less respectful of authority, and society is more on edge. Government needs to protect freedom of religion, not restrict it. To your freedom. God bless you.
Hi, I'm David Farah. Thank you for listening to my dad's podcast, The Barry Farah Show, Culture Shift. Click subscribe now to be sure you don't miss an episode. Share this podcast with your friends on social media and give The Barry Farah Show your 5-star rating. Check out today's show notes below this episode and at thebarryfarahshow.com. This podcast is also available in video format at The Barry Farah Show on YouTube. See you next time.